Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
There aren't any Jasons 12 and under. That's a dead name.
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
How many kids do you hear, hey, Marky, it might be almost to the point of Ruth.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
You love that name so much, you don't even go by it.
On 100.5 ESPN.
If you call me Mark, I like my name. I like my name a lot.
The ESPN Wisconsin app.
Wilde and Tosh.
And ESPN Madison on YouTube.
It's Wilde and Tosh, isn't it?
This is Wilde and Tosh, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Monday edition, the holiday week, Christmas is a-coming, and there won't be shows later, but we've got one today to talk about that loser of a game edition. The Aaron Rodgers, if you're a Packers fan, Aaron Rodgers, thank you for your service, you and the Steelers, because now all that has to happen is that the Packers win one of their last two games, or the Lions lose one of their last two games, and the Packers are in the playoffs. Probably as the number seven seed for the third consecutive year edition. And the Jordan Love's of the concussion protocol, Malik Willis has a shoulder injury. We don't know much about Clayton Tune other than he's got a fun name. But we did learn who the two emergency quarterbacks are on game day if something were to befall both Love and Willis in a game. We'll tell you who they are. Edition of Wilde and Tosh on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and of course everything you need on the all-new, all-redesigned, all-free, and all-customizable ESPN Wisconsin app, where you can find that both in the Apple and Android app stores. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Jesse J. Nelson, the pride of Muskego, is in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios. And from a disclosed location, the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at the Avenue in the 3rd Street Market Hall in downtown Milwaukee. He is the Packers Hall of Famer. He's Mark Tauscher. Tausch, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic this morning, Jason. How are you?
Well, you look great. It's great to see you. I'm fine.
Can you see me or not?
No, I can't. But
no, I mean,
we'll
you
see
can?
You eventually.
You
no,
can't.
I cannot.
Oh.
Not at this point.
Well, if and when we get it, I have a new shirt on today with Professor Patches. I'm really curious to see what you think.
That sounds like
so
a
let me know when that
hey,
video
Professor
pops up.
Patches, how you doing today? All right. Wait, is this a new shirt or is this a continuation of the Eleanor?
It's brand new.
Dad, you have
no,
all these shirts.
Shirt.
You got to wear them.
Yeah, no, it's a brand new shirt that I had found. It's probably 15 years old. So,
sweet.
But it's new. It's never been worn. I had to take all the
new
tags
to you.
Off.
This would
this
be
morning.
A much better topic if we could actually see you.
That's fair. But we'll work on that.
We're getting it going. I tell you what, BD, I'm going to tell you this now. I'm down here in Milwaukee. Brian D., our fearless leader down here in Milwaukee. I don't ask any questions. I show up to say good morning. He hands me a complete stack of every live read you could imagine, printed hard copy, a show sheet, a menu for lunch that I can go get lunch afterwards. That's what Brian D did this morning. 901.
VIP service, brother.
He's really good, man. That's why he's kind of, worked his way up the ladder.
Was wondering, just wait, who is this? What is this what a producer does? That was legit my question, and that's just what.
Well, if you came into I'm not saying
either way is right or wrong.
To hand you things. I hand you Jill, stuff every time.
Hey, don't get defensive. Don't get defensive.
I feel like I'm being attacked with
now.
This commentary, and the only thing. Only thing I don't hand you is a
not
menu every
this.
Day.
I don't need that, so that's probably good. I wasn't taking a shot at you. I'm just telling you what Brian was doing. That's all. Don't be so sensitive.
Maybe you should have worked on getting your camera up and running instead of printing all this stuff off for you.
Okay. That's fair feedback.
That's Jesse kicking. All right, fair enough. Couple of questions for you before we delve into the Saturday night debacle or the gut punch or however you want to put it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Let's say you have these two options as your son or daughter playing in a high school hockey game that you're going to watch and watch the game. Do you watch the game, but it's only in Spanish, and obviously I don't speak Spanish, or do you listen to the game
only
on the radio in English? No, if it was Portuguese, I would have been fine. Which of those two options would you go with as you're trying to watch a hockey game as well?
I got to say, for me, because I've done this for a road Packers game when Sid would be playing in a soccer game.
Spanish only?
No, I go headphones and listen to the broadcast. And with the SiriusXM app, I could listen to the broadcast on my headphones. Watch the game, because if you're trying to watch the game, you're watching the game. You're not watching Max scoring goals and stuff.
Yeah, but there's shifts. There's shifts, and you can. I mean, these plays are 4 seconds, and then you can hear the commentary and not understand it because it's in Espanol. But
muy bien.
It was just something that I kind of thought of, and Eleanor actually asked that question of me, and
it's
a great question. I would agree with you. The radio is the way to go.
So is that what you did?
I concur. No, I watched it.
Okay.
And I found a way to get the Espanol button off and figured out the English version of it, and so it all worked itself out pretty well. By the way, Brady has gotten really good.
That's not what I heard. I heard that he had taken a step back.
No, they're wrong. He's gotten markedly better. Whoever told you that doesn't know ball.
Okay. I think there might have been somebody who knew ball, but not the ball knowing weekend guy like you. Okay, so more importantly, how'd Max play? I was just reading a story that Max was prominently mentioned in after a big dub.
He's doing fine.
He's doing good.
They're doing all right.
Good.
Yeah, they're doing
glad
good.
Glad to hear it. Have you learned how to skate?
All right. So here's a couple of things, and I did the post game with Strophy Saturday night.
Indeed,
different vibe with Strophy in comparison to Homer.
It's
just a different show. Strophy's more of a fan, I feel like, and Homer's more of a, Homer's just going to have a strong opinion and run with it right from the jump.
Sure,
but I felt like from my end, as I had a couple people getting after me, that I wasn't upset enough. Uh-oh. I had one of the guys, he's a avid texter and tweeter, basically said I wasn't mad enough. And my point was I was kind of in shock of how that played out and how eerily similar it was to the Seahawks game in the championship, the way it played. Not obviously the same amount of errors that occurred.
Some similarities,
but
for sure.
The Green Bay Packers dominated that game for about 56 or 57 minutes. 56, 57. But the bottom line, and I thought one of my better lines, I don't know if we clipped it, I hope we did.
Was
that this isn't the Olympics. This isn't a Russian judge giving a crazy score. Like, the scoreboard is the scoreboard. And you can win all these things and you can have all this, but if you don't win, nobody remembers any of, like, because there were so many great storylines from Saturday. Malik Willis, the defense rising up without its star player, all of these things, and all of it's for naught. Like, we'll talk a little bit about it, but everybody's just going to remember the bumbled onside kick, the bumbled snap, and the one-on-one coverage, Keyshawn getting beat a couple times. That's what people are going to remember from this game, and the fact that it more than likely cost the Green Bay Packers the division. That's what people are going to remember from Saturday. And that's a shame, because what Malik Willis did was awesome. What that defense was able to do was, I thought, really impressive from Jeff Hafley. And I thought Matt LaFleur was fantastic for the vast majority of that game. And none of that is going to be any part of a storyline moving forward from what we saw.
Yeah, there were too many people that were awesome until they weren't. Right? Romeo Doubs caught everything thrown his direction. Phenomenal touchdown. Caught the four balls in the first quarter alone after the previous two games having like two catches. Malik Willis was magnificent until the third down run that was not productive, and then the fourth down fumble on the snap, which he took full responsibility for. The defense was great until it wasn't. Too much of that, and that's how you end up leaving Chicago a 22-16 loser to the Bears. And boy, were the Bears loving every minute of that, and so were their fans. Woo! That was a lot. So you weren't angry or frustrated or disappointed enough, per some reports. Why weren't you more frustrated, disappointed, or angry than you were?
No, I wasn't angry. I was disappointed and I was frustrated that the game ended the way it did, because I'm sure, as you do, you write your article, you kind of have ideas on what you're thinking, and as Packer games are finishing up, I have my mind, or I kind of have my mindset, you know, thinking about what my opening statement will look like and what the motif of that is, and it was going to be, we're Kings of the North again. And then obviously we're not, and we're not yet, and I don't know if we will be. And how that all played itself out was, it was unbelievable to watch. Like, because the Bears bungled the end of the 2 minute. They don't kick the field goal until after, and they don't have to. So you could make an argument that their kicker won them the game by being late, not doing it. They wouldn't have probably not onside kicked if they got it in before the 2 minute warning.
Right.
So that series of events kicked it off. So I guess it was just right at that point. I'm still not to – I guess for as much as I wanted them to have an opportunity to be the one seed and have this go, I don't think anyone here has any fear of going back to Chicago and beating that team. I don't think – and that is more than likely, you know, depending on how San Fran plays tonight and how they play against the Bears next week, that's how this is going to end up shaking itself out, and we'll see. I felt pretty good about everything that happened, obviously, except for the last 4 minutes of the game.
Yeah, that was a problem. The overtime, obviously, with the fumble and then the touchdown pass, 46 yards, Caleb Williams to DJ Moore, which was a hell of a throw and a catch. Like, for those that have looked at Williams and said, he's not very good. He had some really good moments. And the Homer rule, which he's had in place for decades, about you judge young players not on what they do when they do it poorly, but when they do things well, he had some great moments. I mean, he was really good. The Packers defense without Micah Parsons, really good until it wasn't. Like I said, didn't manage to corral him in the most critical times, which was a problem, obviously. Obviously, they didn't have any sacks without Micah Parsons, but Micah Parsons didn't have a sack in the first Bears game at Lambeau Field either. He is a challenging quarterback to handle when it comes to that. Nevertheless, one of the reasons why maybe you're not as downtrodden is because Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers went into Detroit and beat the Lions, and now the Packers win and they're in. They got to win one game. They're probably going to be the seventh seed,
yeah, they're in,
for the third straight year.
Hey, They're going to be in the playoffs. Right? We've kind of had this discussion.
Yeah, I understand. But they still have to do it.
Yeah, but it's no, I get that. Detroit's done.
Okay.
Detroit, I think we about knocked them out with the Thanksgiving game, and then they lost. This is not their year, and this shows you for everybody that is kind of frustrated that we haven't won a championship in 15 years. The Detroit Lions are healthier than they were last year. The Detroit Lions show how difficult it is to sustain success.
Mm-hmm.
They are built for winning right now. They should be in the peak of their window with this group, and they're going to go a year without even making the playoffs. In the mm-hmm. peak without a ton of injuries this year. Now, they're going to tell you everybody's got injuries, but their key guys, they're playing. Their secondary's beat up. I have to give Rodgers a ton of credit. I thought this Steelers thing was dead.
You did.
Everybody did.
Mm-hmm.
And he has found a way, and he's kept that group together, and Mike Tomlin. Now, do I think that they can go and win enough to get to a Super Bowl? I don't. But I did not think they'd go into Detroit yesterday and win a game either. And they did.
Mm-hmm.
And they put the Bears in the playoffs. And now, unfortunately, I think for us, we looked at it and said the Packers are going to need to win two, the Bears need to lose two. Detroit has shown that even when there's nothing on the line, they are going to go for it. But I think that task got immeasurably more difficult because of yesterday's result.
If the playoffs began today, the Packers at 9-5-1 would be in as the 7 seed. The rest of the playoff teams as of now, and I believe everyone except the Packers and whoever wins the NFC South has secured a playoff berth. Seattle, Chicago, Philadelphia would be the top 3 seeds. The Rams and the 49ers, who've also secured their playoff berths, would be the first and second wild cards. Right now, Carolina leads the NFC South, and the Packers are in the 7th spot. As we mentioned, the Lions fall to 8-7 with yesterday's loss. They lose another game, or the Packers win another game, and the Packers will have that 7th seed. And it's San Francisco plays tonight. Suppose there's an outside chance that the Packers could move up a spot. But as of now, again, if the playoffs began today, the Packers would be going to Chicago to play the second-seeded Bears in a wild-card game. And I am Team Tausch all the way on that. I don't think they left there thinking these guys are better than us. I think they left there saying, well, they wouldn't say it publicly because they're not putting bulletin board material up. The Bears didn't win the game. We lost the game. And that's really how it felt, I think, in that locker room, Tausch. And you probably had games like that where you say all the right things. Hey,
yeah,
give the Bears credit. They made the plays.
Yep, that sounds great, but it sounds whiny, too. And I think guys should feel that, but yeah, not talk, because
Correct. Talk
is cheap.
No doubt.
It takes money to buy a whiskey. So all of that is great, but there is no doubt in my mind that everybody involved feels great about going back down there. If that's what has to happen, I don't think there's anybody, and I think Bears fans don't want to see that because they want to bask in this for as long as they can. And by the way, I'm guessing, I don't know if are the Bears and Eagles tied right now, or are the Eagles a game behind them?
The Eagles are a game behind them. The Bears are 11-4. The Eagles are 10-5. And don't forget, too, the Bears own the head-to-head tiebreaker. I had never heard that phrase.
It's going to be Chicago Green Bay, baby. Let's go. Sign me up. I'm in.
It takes money to buy whiskey. It also takes money to buy Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, but they've got great interest financing and opportunities to replace all your windows and do it in an inexpensive manner.
No doubt about it. Ensure your home remains comfortable before we reach the brutal post-holiday winter. And you know what? Santa Claus is magical, but his elves aren't qualified to build Pella's windows and doors. There's just too many options and customizations. So instead of going through the big red guy, take advantage of this great deal from Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Zero interest for 24 months. Certain restrictions do apply. This offer ends at the end of the month. Visit PellaWI.com today to learn more.
We will talk more about the Packers' 22-16 overtime loss to the Bears. What went right? What went wrong? And we will get your calls. I understand you had a day to kind of mull it over because it was a Saturday night game. But I am very curious the frustration level for Packers fans. I can tell you this. There are more than a few on the social media channels that wanted there to be a confrontation with Matt LaFleur about Rich Bisaccia's job security. We'll get into that as well. That's all still ahead. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
It's crazy. It's now the second time, in, at least in my career, where we've lost a game where we haven't punted. And it just so happens it's happened twice this season. So it's unfortunate, but obviously we didn't do enough in the red area. You know, can't have a takeaway there or a turnover there. We had a couple blown calls in regards to just the play calls and the execution of those. And you can't waste plays down there. They're so critical. Everyone, and you know, we weren't good enough.
No, Matt, you weren't. Packers lose 22-16, 0-for-5 in the red zone. 3 field goals, a Josh Jacobs fumble, and a fourth down failure on the opening series on a 4th-and-1 pass to Christian Watson from Jordan Love before he suffers a concussion and is knocked out of the game. We'll get to your calls coming up, 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776. Want to remind you, though, before that, Lakeland Supply has been a great partner of ours. We're so happy to have them on our team. And they have those core values that are an important piece to any successful business. And Lakeland Supply is no different than those other businesses, except for the unbelievable work they do in the industrial supply space. Integrity, excellence, stewardship, partnership, and faith. They've been showing those core values for over 40 years. They're ISO certified, a Future 50 winner, top rated in customer satisfaction, and they believe in giving back to the community. Lakeland isn't one of those catalog companies either. They work to be your packaging and supply expert, building plans around what you want. They're in business to make your business better. So set up a free packaging and supply chain assessment at LakelandSupply.com. Tausch, we'll get into special teams, gaffes, and this, that, and the next thing. I'm sure we'll get plenty of calls on that on the Carbless Talk and text line, 844-770-3776. The red zone blues were obviously a major problem. The fumble onside kick by Romeo Doubs, a major problem. The play that I am thinking has gotten less attention than it should, to your point about the job that Jeff Hafley did, is the game-tying touchdown. It's fourth down. They go zero blitz. They have a free runner.
They did that back-to-back plays, right?
I don't remember. Off the top of my head, I don't remember what happened on third down. But I do know on fourth down that Brenton Cox is, as Dom Capers used to say, coming flat free, and there is nobody covering Jahdae Walker. And I don't know if that's supposed to be Keyshawn Nixon's guy or it's supposed to be Nate Hobbs' guy. And Nate Hobbs stepped in when reporters wanted to talk to Keyshawn Nixon in the visitors' locker room and said he wasn't doing media, even though I think Keyshawn was perfectly ready to speak. So, and Matt LaFleur would not explain what the miscommunication was. But that feels like one of those plays that when so many other things go wrong.
Second. Nate Hobbs was the spokesman. Does that mean that Keyshawn screwed up? Because Nate Hobbs is going to take accountability if he's going to talk.
No, he
what is
didn't
Nate Hobbs
accountability
doing?
Either.
Why is he telling Keyshawn not to?
I don't know. He stepped in front of Keyshawn Nixon at his locker. I was at LaFleur at the time. Stepped in front of him and said, he's not doing media today. And stood there until everyone left, apparently.
It's not how this works.
It is not. And I was not a huge fan of him before, but when I was told that story, I became even less of a fan. He is very physical, especially in that game against the Cardinals. But look, that play, you get the stop there. That's another example, and this is why people have flashbacks to the 2014 NFC Championship game. The stakes weren't nearly as high, obviously, but it was like you could pick 9 different moments in that game where if one thing the Packers do right, they win the game. This one, it's probably 5-6, maybe 6-7. But it's the same feeling, and that it just feels to me, tell me if I'm wrong, that that play is one of the ones that just has not been focused on. You win it in regulation. If you get the stop there.
Well, so there's always going to be plays, and that was a playoff game, in essence, on Saturday. Mm-hmm. In playoff games, there's a series of plays that will dictate, and then other plays can happen. If you recover the onside kick, the game's over and none of it. So,
right.
Much like you can dissect all of the plays back in any really critical, tough loss, you can look at things and say, well, if this. But things happen and things change. You play the game a little differently if you're behind. You recover the onside kick. Nobody recovers onside kicks anymore. So they've made it almost impossible. The Bears did, to their credit, and then they went down and made those plays. But what I said Saturday, and for everybody, this is another great reminder why you go out and get Micah. When you have to go cover zero and you do those things, and I think they did back-to-back, or at least they showed cover zero on third down two, and the Bears didn't have an answer, and then to their credit, they came up with an answer on the last one to score the touchdown. You don't have to do that when you have a closer, and you maybe don't even get down there. The bigger play, I think, when you look back at it, is there's a third and 20, and you have a face mask to the quarterback, and you get a free first down. There's another play that goes.
Mm-hmm.
And do you get that? This is another reminder of the importance of someone like Micah. You play defense differently. You have that guy that can close up shop. When you don't, you go to a committee, a.k.a. you have to blitz and do all these other things. It leaves you more vulnerable on the other side of it, and where a secondary that a lot of people have had question marks about, but have been, I don't want to say they've been bailed out, they've been taken advantage of when our pass rush has not been good. That's what happened. And for everybody that is saying that this defense is better and this defense isn't, but Micah Parsons is a game changer. You put game changers out for moments like that. We saw it happen twice during the season already. Not saying it would have happened on Saturday, but I feel fairly confident if we're up by 10 points with 4 minutes left and Micah Parsons is rolling after Caleb, I think we're going to win that game. We didn't, and all of these events happened, but it was another great reminder of why they have an Enter Sandman at Lambeau and the importance of someone like him. And when you don't have him, you have to do some of these things that leave you vulnerable, and the Bears took advantage of that.
We'll get to your calls coming up on the Carbless Talk and text line, 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776. Had a lot of Bears fans in front of me in the press box, banging on the walls, getting all fired up, but at least they were smart enough to be drinking Coors Light.
And whether you're tailgating pregame, sulking a little bit after a tough loss, or enjoying the game, make sure you're cracking open at Rocky Mountain Cold Coors Light. Brewed with a 3-step cold process, cold lager, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It is made to chill. Celebrate responsibly, Coors Brewing Company, at Golden, Colorado.
844-770-3776. That's the Carbless Talk and text line. We'll get to your calls next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Wilde and Tausch on 100.5 ESPN is brought to you by Everlight Solar. Save money, save the planet. Everlight Solar.
404-770-3776. That is the Carbless talking text line. This is more. Packers lose.
Jade, I've got a quick question for you. Packers lost in overtime a couple days ago to the Bears. Bears are in great position to win the division. Packers going to make the playoffs, probably as a 7, potentially. Quarterback situation-wise, the Packers have a guy on the practice squad, correct?
Yeah, but...
Or did they only have two quarterbacks?
They only had two quarterbacks.
Clayton Tune, can you explain to everybody?
Sure. So Clayton Tune is on the practice squad. In order for you to be an emergency third quarterback, you have to be on the roster. So he is not an
53.
Option.
Right. Not last week he wasn't.
He has never been on the 53-man roster. He has always been on the practice squad.
Correct. So had Malik Willis, who again gutted it out in overtime, when Brady was talking about how it looked like he wasn't even able to throw, and then he made some big boy throws in that overtime, had he not been able to go back out there, we would have seen Josh Jacobs and or Jaden Reed as the quarterback in an overtime game.
Yeah, well, considering that they did not play Josh Jacobs at running back again after the fumble, it would have been Jaden Reed. And that was a topic of discussion yesterday. Now, again, is it worthwhile to carry a third quarterback on your 53? I have not
this
gone
weekend
through...
It will be.
Yes, it will be this weekend for sure.
This weekend, something tells me you're going to see an elevation of someone, or you know, there was talk of bringing someone in like a Phillip Rivers. I don't know who you would do, but the Packers will bring up this kid, right? Is the plan? Would that be what your guess is?
I would think so. So for those that missed this, obviously you saw Jordan Love leave with a concussion. Is Tommy DeVito
dirty hit
on
or
roster?
Not, Jason?
I'm sorry?
I don't know. No, I think he's with. I think he is with somebody. Was that a dirty hit?
It wasn't a dirty hit. It was an illegal hit. But I and this is why I don't have a lot of. I'm almost regretting now wanting this rivalry to be rekindled because Bears fans,
you asked
man,
for it.
there are a lot, quite frankly. They also apparently don't understand what I do for a living because they're not familiar with my work. But it was
welcome to the club. About time. About time we welcome you into this club.
Just wait, what does that mean, Jason?
Well,
they aren't familiar with your work and they don't know what you do. Like what? Why would they?
Yeah, they thought I was a fan.
Can you explain?
Yeah, they kept calling me a fan.
Who thought you were a fan?
The Bears fans who were calling me the P word, and I don't mean poopy. I mean the one that's kind of like being a wuss.
Packers fan.
Yeah. No. But they didn't like the fact that I...
Why?
I thought... I'm sorry?
No, continue. I'm confused. They just turned around and started yelling blank at you?
On social media, I posted the hit from the NFC Championship
game.
That
makes more sense.
Yeah, that's different.
I thought you... The way you were talking, fans were sitting in front of you... Crushing Coors Lights, having a good time, and then they turn around and yelling at you. And I'm
no, they
thinking,
were banging on the walls
did they,
what, for sure.
Did you have like a scribe hat on? And
yeah,
like,
press so card in the hat.
Okay,
yeah.
All right.
But,
thank
but
you
they,
for
they,
clarifying.
The problem is that when something goes viral on social media, it just keeps compounding, and you get more and more people. That is apparently a very popular word among the Bears fans. I would just say that. I personally believe, and I enjoyed the whataboutism. Well, what about the Charles Martin's body slam on Jim
that
McMahon?
That was dirty, by
that
the
was
way.
Dirty.
That was dirty.
No one is comparing what Austin Booker did to that. But I'll say this.
The shot over on the sideline. Who did he take out? Was it Walter Payton? Matt Sui?
Matt
he took somebody
Sui.
Out over in the bench.
Yes, it was Ken Stills on Matt
physical.
Sui. My point is that I didn't think it was a dirty hit. I thought Jordan lowered his head. He was in an awkward position. But it was illegal. It is a penalty. So, like, we can agree to disagree on a lot of things between people who cover the Packers and people who root for the Bears. The penalty was deserved. Was it a dirty, malicious
Definitely.
Hit? No, I didn't think so. But again, there's no room for nuance with some folks. I will say this. I thought Jordan Love was going to come back. Because I'm not sure I've seen a guy be diagnosed with a concussion who, after lying on the turf, gets up and runs off the field and into the blue tent. He clearly was trying to convince everyone, including the independent neurologist, that he was A-OK. That apparently did not work, and that is why he did not return. To your point, also Malik Willis suffering a shoulder injury. Great throw to backup quarterback Jaden Reed, but they are in a less than ideal situation.
A little conundrum, so yep.
It could be Tyler Huntley versus Clayton Toon on Saturday night from Lambeau Field, theoretically. Matt LaFleur did hint.
Sign me up. I think it'll be fun.
Matt LaFleur did hint that maybe Jordan Love is moving through the concussion protocol. Okay, he cannot say certain things.
It's gonna take
against the rules.
Yeah, this is his first. This is his first recorded concussion, correct?
Yes.
Or has he been?
Which I think is okay. Encouraging. Yes.
Yeah, that clears you up a little bit quicker. And the fact, I know it's a short week, but it's not because it's still 7 days. And I've heard you say this before, and Davante Adams, where he got back, I don't think he should have been able to get back in 3 days. Mm-hmm. But I would be surprised. I think Jordan Love, you saw, I thought the same thing you did. He was going to do everything in his power, and I think that's where you need to have somebody independent pull him out, because he would have definitely went back in and played. Mm-hmm. And if you want to actually take this stuff seriously, you have to have people looking out for him, because players are not going to give that up.
No.
They forced it, and I would hope Jordan Love goes through this process, and I would be in the same camp. But it's going to take some major things to flare up for him not to play on Saturday.
All right, in the interest of staying on the clock somewhat today, I will ask you to politely wait one more commercial break on hold. We have full phone lines, so I will get to all of you, I promise, because I know you have a lot to talk about as a Packers fan, 844-770-3776, but you'll get to talk after Tausch talks about Kohler Services.
Indeed, and you know what? What a great idea for a late Christmas present. You're struggling. I don't know what to even get. You know what would be great? Calling Kohler Services. Get your bath or shower remodel. Family-owned business, 150 years. Kohler is your Wisconsin manufacturer providing care for life. And this month only, your Lugstone shower remodel, you get zero interest for 12 months, and they're going to throw in a free shower door. Visit KohlerServicesWI.com to request your free quote with fast professional installation always included. Again, that is KohlerServicesWI.com.
Your calls next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
I mean, I'm going to look at the film and correct it as hard as I can. I know I left some plays out there. I know that we can continue to get better, and I know that this season is not over, and we have two more games to finish this thing out. First, starting with Baltimore, and we'll have to worry about that. I mean, we can't change what's happened, and we just got to continue to keep going.
That is Malik Willis, who was great. I mean, he was great.
That's going to be
until he wasn't.
Awesome. It's going to be fascinating to see. When was it? You mean when he fumbled the snap?
Yep.
Is that what you're talking about?
Yes.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting. One of the huge storylines of the offseason is going to be Malik Willis.
Yeah, he was really impressive, as he has been repeatedly. All right, let's get to your calls. 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776. That is the Carbless Talking text line. This is more. We begin in Texas. Then we go to Chicago, St. Paul, Minnesota, Madison, Oak Creek, Atlanta, Hales Corners, Illinois, Pewaukee. And I'll give you one guess who's in Canada. But first we begin with Mike in Texas. Mike, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. All right. So one of the things I'm wondering is, like, you know, with these mistakes I'm wondering if Matt LaFleur is thinking, what could he have done to prepare the team to make those mistakes? And, you know, I think, well, that's coaching, you know, game-type situations. But then I think about the Chiefs and some of the games that I was watching, and they were making a lot of uncharacteristic mistakes and penalties. And obviously, they're a great coach team, great coach. And I don't know what, you know, putting Romeo Doubs in that position seemed perfect. He was doing great. Even though he did have drops throughout the season, I don't know if he's second-guessing any decisions, what he could have done. Was there any decisions he could have done throughout the game that would have changed things? And obviously, the players didn't execute. They made mistakes. But sometimes it's going to go back to Goody. Well, maybe, you know, he doesn't have the right people. And so, I mean, it's just a matter of a few plays, a few things that makes the difference, and it wasn't a blowout. Like, most games aren't blowouts in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, look, a couple things. I mean, first of all, that they made a decision in the secondary, and I am not – I want to be careful here because I don't want my frustration with Nate Hobbs' prevention of another player talking. If you don't want to talk, that's your decision. I don't think you get to decide if other people can talk. But I said this long before this happened. The Packers had two choices when they didn't have Evan Williams on Saturday night. They could leave Javon Bullard at the slot position and start Zane Anderson at safety, or they could move Bullard to safety and play Nate Hobbs in the slot. And that was what they chose to do. I don't know what the miscommunication was. When I asked Matt LaFleur specifically on what the miscommunication was on the game-tying touchdown, he said there's a schematic part to that, so I'm not going to tell you. So I don't know what that was, but the bottom line is either Nate Hobbs or Keyshawn Nixon is supposed to be covering Walker, and instead neither one of them on a zero blitz is covering him, and he's wide open for the touchdown on a play that appeared to be dialed up perfectly and executed not perfectly. But the bottom line is that their secondary was good enough against an offense that did not have Roma Dunze and did not have Luther Burden. Their secondary was good enough until it wasn't, like so many other aspects to that game. But you look at where they're at at corner, Tausch, and you look at the past drafts and the investment or lack thereof. In corners, they've drafted seventh-round corners each of the last 3 years. Those are the only investments at that position since they took Eric Stokes in the first round. So is that a problem area, as Mike suggests, in your mind?
Yes. Yes. Yeah, I thought that was the pass rush needs to be there, and I can't be a ton of blitzing because then you put guys in tougher spots. And that's why if you're going to go out and get Micah and you're going to pay Rashawn Gary, you need to get home, because for as much as I was complimenting, boy, they are playing those short routes really well. Their pass breakups. I mean, there's some games Keyshawn had a bunch of PBUs. You look at it from that perspective, but I don't care how good your corners are. You can't ask them to cover for a ton of time. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to go zero blitz and do that, you better make sure you're communicating and know exactly where you need to be, because one false step or one non-communicative deal gets your blank beat, and that's what happened. But, yeah, this is going to be a position, obviously, in the offseason. Green Bay is going to look to upgrade. Probably one or two guys would be my guess.
844-770-3776. Let's go down to Chicago. Is Thomas a Bears fan calling the show, Jesse?
No, he called last week or the week before. He is a Packers fan in Chicago. Did clarify that with him.
Tough place to be right about now. Thomas, good morning. How you doing down there?
I've been better.
Fair.
I think having Sunday off has – I think Packers fans have thought about this, and I think this is – I think this is more than Goody. Let me tell you this. In 2018 draft class, zero players left. 2019, two guys left. 2020, one guy left. 2021, one guy left. How many seventh round or undrafted players for either starting or playing significant minutes on Saturday night. Quite a few. Mm-hmm. So if you want to say, okay, Micah Parsons is end-all, be-all, he's a game-changer, he's a closer, well, where's all the first, second, and third-round picks? Or where's all these free agency that you signed? Where are they set up? Zero. Goose eggs. This is on Goody for not getting Matt LaFleur and Jeff Hafley the right pieces, because guess what? You can't have this mindset where you're going to be healthy every season, year in, year out. That's just not the case. You have to have depth, depth, depth. So if people want to, like, getting Matt LaFleur, yeah, he didn't do well in the red zone, but how about getting players that can execute? Maybe, I don't know about this, maybe there's a talent disparity, I don't know, but having so many seventh-round undrafted free agents. Maybe invest in the positions and not have so much weight on the pass rushing where you don't have so much to make up for not having good enough cornerbacks. Like, I'm sorry, this is all on Goody, and clearly there's not pressure on him to do better, do different, because you think, well, we don't have two first-round picks the next 2 years. You think all of a sudden this guy is going to just draft the probers and all pros? Let's say this, guys. He has not drafted a single Pro Bowler in 8 years. What does that say?
Thomas, we appreciate the call. All right, so let's parse this a little bit.
Is that true? He has not drafted. He has not drafted a Pro Bowler in 8 years.
That's not accurate.
Okay, I was going to say.
So first of all, he's right. Rashawn Gary and Elton Jenkins. Rashawn Gary and Elton Jenkins are both.
Has Jordan Love made a Pro Bowl?
He has not.
He should have,
but he hasn't. To Thomas's
Snoop
point,
Huntley's made a Pro Bowl. Snoop was a Pro Bowler a couple of years ago.
No one from the 18 class. Gary and Elton Jenkins, the only ones left from 2019. Which, by the way, I don't expect either of them to be on the team in 2026. From the 2020 draft, Jordan Love is the only one left. From the 2021. draft, Isaiah McDuffie is the only one left. From 2022, which is obviously the bedrock of this roster, the players that are left on this team from that class: Walker, Wyatt, Watson, Ryan, Dobbs, Zach Tom, Kingsley, and Igbare, Rashid Walker. So that is the class that you are counting on to continue to be. And you're going to have to figure out who you're.
How would you
signing.
Rank that class?
I think it's a great. I think it's a very good class.
Yes,
I think Christian Watson has dealt with a bunch of injuries, but he is a very good player. I think Zach Tom is an elite level right tackle. I think Rashid Walker to get a seventh round starting left tackle is a great pick. I think Devontae Wyatt has been slightly overrated. I don't think he's been what you would want from a first-round pick. I think Quay Walker has been slightly underrated as a first-round pick, and they miss him when he's not available. But I, you and I don't necessarily see eye-to-eye on Goody. I think he is a good GM. I think he escapes far more criticism than Matt LaFleur does. And I think while Thomas went a bridge too far, in my opinion, with some of his takes within that call, I think he also made some valid points that I think too many people gloss over because he picked Jordan
Jason,
Love.
Quick question.
Everybody gives him more of a pass than he deserves.
Yeah. Quarterback's a big spot. You were there. You watch the guys warm up. You go through. If you're going down on the sideline, and not look, but just the talent, whose roster was better Saturday? Green Bay or Chicago?
Boy. Like if I'm standing there at a game that has Tucker Kraft and Micah Parsons active and in uniform, that's a no-brainer. I'm not sure that I feel the same way after I watch Evan Williams warm up and not be able to go, after I watch Zach Tom, who I don't even think warmed up, not be able to go. I don't think the Packers had a significant advantage in terms of talent on Saturday night based on who they still had available to them for that game. Now, if you want to say who had a better roster on August 29th, then I'm, hey, nope. Packers, not close.
Okay.
So
here's the deal, and I think some interesting points, and I think I have been a huge Goody stan. I think Goody built himself a really good roster. When this team was healthy, mm-hmm. I think it's a dynamite roster. When you go big and you dump a bunch of money into big spots and get stars, you're going to have to hit on draft picks and sixth, seventh round guys, fifth round guys that are going to be core depth guys that you know you can go and put plug and play for a game or two. But Green Bay has went big. They aren't playing at the kiddie tables. They're playing at the high limit tables. And you know what happens sometimes? You go bust and you got to get a credit line. That's what happens. Not everybody wins every hand. And I understand Packer fans' frustrations with it and the fact that you had Hobbs out there who you paid. And how has he played? He hasn't been as good as you had hoped. Defensive back, you have Keyshawn Nixon as your number one corner. You're not paying him as a number one corner, and you can't go out and get – you can't go pay a Patrick Surtain.
Nope.
You've decided to go about it in a pass rush format. You're going to get after people, and you're going to – you don't maybe need to have those other corners. You want to develop and get some young guys and hit. Goody's drafts, they've been up and down, I would say. He has replenished and I think built a really good roster. But – to your point, and that's why I asked you the question, the guys that were out and not able to play, you're talking, I don't know what percentage of cap, but percentage of productivity.
Mm-hmm.
There is a lot of productivity not playing. And to think you're just going to snap your fingers and put other guys in and get the same when you have guys playing at a high level that aren't able to play, that's tough. And then to lose your starting quarterback, but you have a backup in place, this is where I'm torn. Because I do think Goody, whether it came to place kicking or quarterback, he doesn't just sit still. He goes and he improves, and he did that.
Safety.
And that's why I am as pro-Goody as I am.
Yeah, I mean, look, Javon Bullard is a really good football player. Like,
yes.
they've got three really good safeties. And Goody does, like, my point is that I feel like everyone immediately says, well, LaFleur this, LaFleur that, because we judge what he does from a week-to-week basis. Has Goody had some...
This was like, not a LaFleur...
No.
Yeah, LaFleur, I thought, was great on Saturday, right?
I agree. Even threw a challenge flag that he would have won, but he didn't have to because they fixed it with expedited review.
Yeah.
So
you know what, Jason? I don't know if you saw this. I was so – I don't want to act like I'm like a proud brother. But when we fumbled and muffed that onside kick, LaFleur wasn't sitting there pouting and crying. He yelled, let's get a blank and stop and win this game. I'm parsing. I'm not quoting him. Mm-hmm. But right after that, I loved that. Now, I didn't love what ended up happening after,
obviously.
But it was much – that's where I felt like LaFleur had a great – a really good day outside of losing the game on Saturday.
Other than that, how was the game,
I know that
Mrs.
sounds
Lincoln?
Dumb, but he was,
no, it's
I thought
true,
he was
though.
Really good.
I agree with you.
This is the first time it makes me think, I don't think our roster on Saturday was good enough to win because we didn't win. Even though we positioned ourselves to win, we didn't. I don't love Romeo Doubs returning punts. I don't like it at all. I think it's going to bite us if we don't do something about it.
They're last
he looks
in the
uncomfortable.
League. Mm-hmm.
That is a disastrous spot. And, you know, well, bring in a punt returner. We did. It didn't work out for Hardman. He didn't win the job. He didn't win the job, however you want to look at it. But I don't want Romeo Doubs in punt return. I think that these little issues are what gets your blank beat in playoff games. And whether or not he should be your number one guy like Jordy was – To get onside kicks, is there somebody better? I'm guessing somebody else is going to get an opportunity next time.
Yeah, I mean, look, he caught everything. Like, he has really good hands. But he bungled the play. And it wasn't blocked great. But this was, right, exactly. That was the theme of the night. He was great until he
wasn't. The ball was right in his cradle.
Yeah, you can't do that, man. But he did. But he did.
Yeah.
I would rather, I understand he failed there, and he deserves criticism. He took responsibility, which I respect. But I don't have a problem with him being that guy. I mean, based on results, yeah, terrible idea. But based on his hands, no, not terrible. But the results were poor.
We don't want him returning punts. Can we please get him off that punt return?
You finished my sentence.
Okay.
He does not belong.
Thank you.
If he's all you have to choose from, you have bungled your roster if you don't have someone who can handle returns. And if we want to get into Rich Bisaccia later, we can, because I know there are people that want him fired. But that is another area where the roster is a factor. And the Bills decided that Mecole Hardman was worth having. Now, he got hurt in the game where he had a big return. I think he also had a turnover in that game. He is now back on the Bills roster again. He's been activated. But there are people that you can get that can do that job. That's how you ended up with Keyshawn Nixon. And think about how good he was in that role as a kick returner. So that is a roster problem.
We're bringing 45-year-old dudes back. What's Devin?
Yeah, and
how fun
would
it be to bring him back to play the Bears in Chicago?
Sure, and you bring him back, he's already in the hall, right? So they can't, like, revoke it.
Yeah, like they can't reverse it. No.
Like, it's different than, obviously, with Phillip Rivers, who hasn't been voted in
yet. Eric Metcalf? I mean, there's other.
Hey,
some of the other guys that we could bring
in? Why don't we just get Desmond Howard? He's on ESPN every week. What's he doing?
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay.
Why not? Or maybe Mike Pryor. He's like 63 years old now.
Yeah, Dante Hall.
He'll at least catch the ball.
A lot of guys.
Dante Hall is 47. I was just looking him up.
That's good.
Yeah, at some point, right? That's where we're at.
If I was wagering at Hard Rock Casino Rockford, I would not wager that any of those people would be coming out of retirement to return kicks for the Packers.
Oh, I have a tough day. No doubt about it. And you know what? What's fun? You forget how much fun it is to be in a sports book, to just sit there and watch games, thinking that the Lions are going to stomp the Steelers, and then it doesn't. Mm-hmm. You have all this excitement with a touchdown. Oh, it doesn't. Head on down to the Hard Rock Casino Rockford, 60 minutes from the greater Madison area. Great sports book, great food, slots, table games, and as I said, like the Packers, high limit action. They elevate the high limit room experience to deliver premium table games tailored for discerning players with enhanced game rules, including blackjack, where the dealer stands on a soft 17. You'll enjoy better odds, faster play, and the kind of authentic high limit action that sets the Hard Rock Casino Rockford apart. Your next hand could be your best yet. Visit the high limit room at Hard Rock Casino Rockford and rediscover your game on your terms, in your rhythm, and with your edge. Again, about 60 minutes from the greater Madison area.
The 10 o'clock hour starts in 2 minutes, so stick around. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.